Speaking of the Bible, which pair of glasses do I need? Who knows? Well, last week we celebrated and remembered Shavuot. And a part of that celebration is remembering that that's also celebrated as the day God gave the Torah to Moses on Sinai. A lot of other stuff too, but the theme of that holiday, of course, is provision. We ask a couple of questions, and hang on, I'll get this, okay. And in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to answer some of the ones I brought up last week. I will answer them all, by the way, and there's more I'm going to bring up. And the reason I'm doing that is so you can answer other people's questions, because they will have them if they study a little bit. The provision, how is this provision? Where would we be without the Scriptures, without the Word of God? And then fortunately, like in our language, we use the term law. And I mentioned last week that a better word would be Torah. And in that concept of Torah, it doesn't mean law like we think of going 75 miles an hour in a 35 zone. It's God imparted to us His teachings, His instructions, and His directions. That's really good news. Otherwise, you know what it would be? Here's what I think. And then it would be, no, here's what you think. And where would we be? But we can argue about what something might mean, but we can say, this is what God said. Okay, now there's a big difference. We mentioned last time, and this is important, because when you talk to people, especially in churches, and you even imply, the word law even comes up, it's a horrible thing. Okay, keep in mind, again, how it's used in Scripture. And we kind of walk through it. Is it the Ten Commandments? Is it the 613? Is it the first five books? Is it the entire Tanakh? And then the Brit Hadashah? It can be used in all those ways. Okay? And it is used that way in Scripture. Context shows you how. But what I want to do, we mentioned last week, from a messianic perspective, our perspective, in the next 2 or 3 teachings, we're taking a look at the whole thing as one book. Okay, to a church group, Old and New Testament. Okay, Tanakh, Brit Hadashah for us. And I brought up some interesting questions last time, didn't I? Did you forget already? Stuff like, we all like Moses, right? We should. I got a great book. It's called The Top 100. It's the 100 most influential Jewish people in all of history. Moses is number one. You know who number two is? Yeshua. This book was written by a non-believer. They put him number two because they were honest. They said, you know what? Hate to say this, but he has done more to change history, okay? I kind of said, don't agree with everything, but I think that was kind of neat, okay? So, as we look at this as a whole, a question, since we like Moses so much, is Isaiah as inspired as Exodus? About the book of Joel. Is that as inspired? Nehemiah, as inspired? The book of 1 Timothy. We're going to answer those questions because some people have share various degrees and kinds of inspiration. We're going to clear all that up because the Bible talks about it. And we will show you those things. Well, in last week, we got this document out, which is very important. It's the first two pages of our bylaws, our statement of purpose, and our 13 principles of faith. Now, do we have copies? They're out there. Okay, they're out there. Take them home with you and look at them. But look at how many times it all revolves around Scripture in some form. And at that some point, you've got to start thinking. If this is wrong, we are wrong. Okay, we have to be intellectually honest. We're going to be all the way through. 100 years ago, it scared people to death. I'll tell you why in just about 1 minute. But if this is wrong, we're wrong. Because what we believe and do is based on this. So my teachings this week and the next 2 weeks or three or so are going to be extremely important, because people will say to you out on the street, this is wrong. This is wrong. How, is it? And if it really is wrong, we need to admit the truth and say, yeah, it's wrong. But if it's really miraculously, supernaturally correct, we have a message to give to people. But can you prove it? Because 100 years ago, they would say, you know, I came out of a Baptist background, so I can pick on Baptists, right? The Baptist would say, you got to take this by faith. Because what could we prove? Nothing much. Nothing much. Got to take it by faith. And people did. But I'm like, yeah, but what about, what if it's not true? Take it by faith. Well, yeah, but, see, I like facts. But see, the whole thing is based on our faith, not on the facts. But isn't God the sweetest? In these end times, guess what he's done? He's given us all the facts to go with our faith. My grandparents didn't have all that stuff. We have a couple of wonderful sciences. Science is your friend, by the way, not your enemy. It is your friend. Truth is your friend. I want to know truth. If 8 people wrote Isaiah, I want to know the truth. That's not true, by the way. They will say stuff like that. People, the critics. And Yeshua is, he has a sense of humor. Okay, how some of this works is this. The liberal theologians, up until just past the turn of the century, were saying, this is myth. It didn't happen. And they can show you all the reasons why Moses couldn't write the Torah. They said, because there was no writing in his time. That's what they said. I have the books at home. My old books say this. And they said, you have all these camels running around in the book. They weren't domesticated yet at that time. So they started gathering all these facts to disprove Scripture. Their goal was to disprove Scripture. And the Lord began to smile. So gather your list, write your chapters, and so on. Okay, just go ahead. And while my Baptist friend was taken by faith, not budging, didn't have any facts to back it up. But you know what they had? They said, they would say things like, the Lord has changed my life. They have their testimony. But in this day and age, we have not only our testimony, but science is now your friend. The first science that began to be our friend was biblical archaeology. The archaeologists came on the scene, began to dig things up, and the liberals said, okay, we will now show you how wrong you are. They will dig up the truth, and you will see that this book is incorrect. And they announced it. It's in my books at home. They say this kind of stuff. And we will show you how wrong you are. And then they began, as they began to dig stuff up, they began to find little fragments, okay, and more little fragments, and it was parts of the Bible. They would say, oh, and now we're going to prove to you that what you have here isn't even close to what Isaiah wrote or what John wrote. Because after all, and you can do this at your parties at home, I whisper in your ear, and then you whisper the same thing, and pretty soon it's a whole different thing, right? We can show you that's exactly what happened. The copies made this, made that, and it's all my books at home, you guys. And we will show you how wrong you have been. In mockery, they mocked us because we didn't have any facts to back it up. We just hung in there. So as the archaeologists began to dig, they began to go out on a big limb. Yeshua was smiling. And today in Israel, on our tours, our guides, who are amateur archaeologists, by the way, which they really are, we can say today, you can say to people, and they've dug up all kinds of stuff, there has not been one, not even one find that disputes this book. Not one. Not even one. Maybe we could probably mess with one, right? Not one. But guess what they found? Thousands and thousands of things that make this, that show what's true. The kings, when they reigned, where they reigned, what they did, what battles they were in. It's like, didn't that say that in First Chronicles? Yeah. And it's exactly, it's historically correct. And then it got better. There is not one historical error in the Bible. It's accurate to the letter in history. But then these liberal theologians say, well, then I choose, though not to believe it, to be true because that's an act of faith. And to trust in Yeshua, you have to have faith. That's true because that's not a fact. That's a faith thing in the heart. But all of a sudden, we start getting all these facts. And right now, there's not time to go into all of them, but it is so much fun, and we will do a few in the next few weeks. But the amazing thing is, not even one problem, historically, not one. Not one with archaeology, not one. And then the next science, the really scary one, is this one. And next week, we'll go into this in some depth. Textual criticism. Okay? The liberal scholars, the scholars said, John didn't write what you have in John. Isaiah didn't write what you have in Isaiah. Okay, Paul didn't write what you have in Romans. Don't be an idiot and believe that stuff. Okay. The science is your friend. And what's really funny is this morning early, I was on the internet. The internet is a wonder. You can get facts quick. I went to about 8 books that I would have to go to the library or go to the store and buy. And the whole book is right there. I go, this is amazing. I can press a button and all this stuff is right there. Well, without excuse, by the way. All that stuff is right there. So the textual critics will say, okay, we have all these documents now. In my older books, they found some. Then they found more. And then they found 100. Then hundreds. And then thousands. Now we're talking, let's take just the Brit Hadashah. There were 5,500 Greek manuscripts of the Brit Hadashah. That's a lot of stuff. That's an old figure, by the way, it's more. There's 10,000 Latin manuscripts, the ancient ones. They said, okay, we find this stuff, we're going to show you that what you have here is not what they said. Whoops. Whoop. And the mockery was the Tanakh at first, because unfortunately, see, the unfortunate thing is, you see, let me read one thing to you from our bylaws. Then you'll say, well, that's not going to make sense unless you can prove it. Our number two, under principles of faith, we believe that the scriptures, consisting of the entire Tanakh, Hebrew scriptures, and the entire Brit Hadashah, New Testament scriptures, New Covenant scriptures, are the Word of God, fully inspired. Catch this. Without error in their original manuscripts. That becomes very important. Without error in their original manuscripts, which means when John wrote John and when Paul wrote Romans, they wrote it without any mistakes, without any error. So the question comes, well, where's that copy? Where's the one John wrote? Hang on. I have bad news. We don't have it. This is so much fun for students. Fully inspired, without error in the original manuscripts, and provide us with our only infallible, authoritative, and final rule of faith and practice. Yeah, but you know what? We just went on a huge limb. Because if this isn't true, everything we base everything on isn't true either. We're really, the Bible says that, by the way. Paul said, if Yeshua was not raised from the dead, then we are of all men most to be pitied. He says, we're the dumbest people on the face of the earth, if it isn't true. He thought it was true. He had this little encounter on the road to Damascus, as you recall. It kind of changed things for him. So let's go back to the manuscripts. Okay, unfortunately, the prophecies in Isaiah, there's some wonder. We sing them at Christmas time, right? The prophecies in Isaiah. Well, and then so one of your neighbor skeptics will say to you, and they will, that's why we're doing this, so you can have the answers. They will say, well, what was the oldest copy of Isaiah that has all these prophecies about Yeshua? Oh, it was about the year 950. Excuse me? You mean 950 A.D.? You mean way, almost 1,000 years after it happened? And anybody could have written in that it happened after it happened? Give me a break. Then we have to go back to, we've got to take it by faith now. That was the case. The oldest manuscript was about 965 A.D. Oh, what about, okay, And then the, remember the archaeological scientists, as they were digging down, guess what they found? Well, at Qumran, some wonders were found there. They found the entire scroll of Isaiah. Only thing of it was that what they found, what they found was it goes back to 165 BC. So, oh, then therefore the prophecies won't be there about Yeshua. Isaiah 53 won't be there, right? Ooh. And by the way, if this is now, okay, did you just do the math? We go back 1,000 years to compare this one, 1,000 years older than this one. They won't even look alike. I love this statistic. Okay, trivia people, next week you'll bring me the answer. The first one you'll get, Isaiah. How many chapters were in Isaiah? 66. That's cool because it's the same number of books of the Bible. By the way, interesting, the whole pattern of Isaiah is that of the whole Bible. It's a cool book. Okay, trivia people, how many, we said chapters, how many verses are in Isaiah? You don't know, huh? Next week, bring me the answer. Oh, let's go one more step. How many verses? We haven't got time right now. Next week. Okay, let's go one more step. How many? Okay, let's go to a fundamentalist position. Okay, like we just read to you. How many letters? How many Hebrew letters are in Isaiah? Oh, man, that's a ton of letters, isn't it? So if we have this document, I'm greasing the skids for next week, okay? This document, and we go back 1,000 years, how many letters would be the same? I love this statistic. It's hilarious. There's only 17 letters difference in 1,000 years. And they're word inversions for the most part, where one word is here and they switch them. It's like, holy cow. And all the prophecies are there exactly intact. What you have in your Bible is Isaiah. Okay? And that is a miracle. Well, it gets better than that. Oh, we're just about out of time. I'll give you one little hint about where we're going next week. What about the, by the way, these scholars attack certain books more than others. Deuteronomy, big attack on Deuteronomy. Okay, big attack. Big attack on Isaiah. Let's go to the New Testament. Big attack on which book do you think? Well, the book of John. There are more copies of John and more fragments of John than any other book. One of them is called the Rylands Papyri. Goes back to the lifetime of John. That's getting right there. Right there. Guess what? And remember I said there was 5,500 documents? That's New Testament. When you talk about the fragments, when I was in Bible college, it was 25,000. Now, I don't know what the number is now, but it's a gigantic number of fragments. What that means is this. If you're digging up something somewhere, you find this, okay, right here, of a page of Scripture. Well, what does that show you? That shows you this much. And in this case, it's Matthew 9. So how does that compare when you figure out how old it is to my Matthew 9? That's textual criticism. The question is our text accurate? Is this what Matthew said? Is this what John said? That's what we want to know. Otherwise, why are we talking about this stuff? So when they compare the thousands and 30 years ago, it was like 25,000 fragments. Josh McDowell has to keep writing that section of his book, okay? Because it's a gigantic number. Guess what? They're all the same. But you see, when you get into these differences, and I'm going to end with this thought, they're not really all the same. They're almost all a little bit different. Oh, there goes my faith out the window. Because the textual critic, the true one, wants to know truth. And what I had to laugh this morning at about 5:30 on the computer, when they get into the variations and the numbers and the arrows and this and this and that, you go, excuse me, what's the bottom line of all this nonsense that you have here? Because you'll never figure this out. These scientists love this. And so the question becomes this. You know, I'm not one of you guys that spent all my life doing this. I want to know how accurate is this. If you take all the evidence, the complete documents, the ages, the fragments, you put them all together, how is this trustworthy? How accurate is this? They say, oh, why didn't you just ask that? Because they're into all the intricacies and so on. I love this figure. We'll end this and pick it up here next week. This is cool. What we have, we're talking 66 books of the Bible. Okay? Okay. How much of the real Bible do we have here? Percent. Here it is. From textual criticism, from cold, hard facts you can prove and give numbers. We have 99.5%. That is pretty cool. And the 0.5%, guess what? We know where the mistakes are. You want to know how much they are? How big? It takes up 1/4 of one page of the whole Bible. Bottom line is, and we'll pick it up here next week, this is a book you can trust. God, there's a whole doctrine called preservation. That if this is God's word, and he gave instructions and Moses wrote it down, guess what? He's going to preserve it supernaturally. And he did, and you can prove it. Science is your friend. Archaeology is your friend. We can now give facts and proof that we don't have just blind faith. You need to learn this stuff. Get Josh McDowell's book, the newest version with the new numbers, okay? Evidence that demands a verdict. Because we have the facts. Let's all stand.